On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Today's chaplain is Reverend Will Eisenhower from the First Presbyterian Church in White Bear Lake.
How you doing, Ike?
Doing good. How you doing?
Good.
Join me in prayer, please. Oh, yes, oh God, you were our help in ages past. You are our hope for years to come. It was under your hand that Minnesota citizens of earlier generations came together, agreeing upon the terms of our area's founding and development, terms which provided subsequent generations with the rich heritage of law and goodwill, tradition and creativity, which have allowed our state to become one of the best places in the world to seek out life, liberty, and the pursuit of civic well-being. Lord, those earlier generations appear to us now to have had a buoyant self-confidence and a moral compass which we need today. Therefore, this morning, with the prosperity, security, and harmony of our people on the line, as we seek to make Solomon-like choices, we know that we need your aid. Grant that our decisions will keep in view the progress of all, balanced with the protection of each, the good of the many, balanced with the rights of the few. Grant indeed that funds and needs, ideals and realities may be creatively aligned in our day as they have been in the past. These things we ask, revering your sacred name, your fathomless mystery, and your infinite goodness. All the people concluding with the words with which we began, oh yes, oh God, join me, oh yes, oh God, one more time, oh yes, oh God, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Berglund, Betzold, Bonhoff, Carlson, Chaudhry, Clark, Cohen, Dahl, Day, Dibble, Dill, Dahl, Erickson Ropes, Fishbach, Phoebe, Foley, Fredrickson, Gerlach, Gimsey, Han, Higgins, Ingebretson, Johnson, Jungbauer, Kielash, Koch, Coring, Kubli, Langseth, Latz, Limmer, Laurie, Lynch, Marty, Metzen, Michelle, Moi, Murphy, Olsen, Olson G, Olson M, Ortman, Pappas, Pariseau, Pogemiller, Pretner Solon, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Rummel, Salzman, Saxhog, Scheid, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Skogan, Sparks, Stump, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Vandeveer, Vickerman, Wieger.
Quorum is present. First order of business is executive and official communications. They're on today's agenda. Next order of business. Next order of business, reports of committees. Senator Betzold. The next order of business is reports of committees.
Mr. President, I move the reports of committees printed in today's agenda be adopted.
On the Betzel motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. The next order of business is second reading of Senate bills. There are four printed on today's agenda. Without objection, second reading of Senate bills. Next order of business is motions and resolutions. There are a number of authors' motions. Without objection, we will take them as one motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Phoebe, did you have a motion to make?
Thank you, Mr. President. I move This is my bill, Senate file number 238, be withdrawn from the Committee on Taxes and referred to the Committee on Ag and Veterans, and both chairs have agreed to this.
Okay, on the Senator Fobey's motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion approved. President's in doubt. Motion prevails. There are two resolutions, number 22 and 23. Without objection, they will be referred to the Rules Committee. Mr. Senator President. Paul Gemmeller.
Mr. President, members under motions, I'm going to move a special order, and then we'll take up a special order on Senate File 49, which is the maintenance of effort bill. And then after we process that, and I'll yield to Senator Bach, and then after that we'll take up Senate Concurrent Resolution number 5, which is on deadlines. Or maybe we'll do the concurrent resolution first. Maybe that'll be quicker.
That'd be fine.
So, Mr. President, I'd move Senate Concurrent Resolution number 5.
We'll report the resolution or the resolution, concurrent resolution.
Senators Pogamiller and Senjum introduce Senate Concurrent Resolution number 5, a Senate concurrent resolution adopting deadlines for the 2009 regular session.
Senator Pogamiller.
Mr. President, now do I need to move it? I now make my motion to move Senate Concurrent Resolution number 5.
Okay, a few brief remarks.
Mr. President, members, this is a resolution that describes the committee deadlines that the House and the Senate would like to work under this year. We have discussed this with the House. There was general agreement this year. There was not much disagreement. And the first deadline will be March 27th at 8 p.m. For committees to act favorably on bills in the House of Origin. The second deadline, then, is midnight, April 7th, for the committee of the other body to meet the deadline. And April 7th is the Tuesday before the Easter Passover break.
Senator, let me interrupt for a minute. There are copies of this at the front desk. I know some people are interested in looking at it, so come on up now and take a peek at them, and Senator Pogamiller will continue to explain. Senator Pogamiller.
And the intent is, and I don't think this has been totally finalized, but we're either going to start the Easter Passover break Tuesday at midnight, or there may be a reason for a session to process paper on Wednesday. But I don't think there's an intent to do heavy work on Wednesday, so the Easter Passover break is probably that Wednesday till the following Tuesday at noon. But there may be a reason for a floor session on Wednesday morning. We just don't know yet. But we would not need a full house. So Tuesday midnight, the committees will be working to meet that second committee deadline. Then there's a third deadline that is different than we've had a third deadline in the past, and that's April 16th, where the divisions of the Senate committees on finance need to act on their omnibus bills, the divisions. Then on April 22nd, the committees on finance in the Senate, or the Ways and Means in the House, must act favorably on the omnibus appropriation and tax bills. So they would be to the floor on April 22nd, to the floor in both bodies, and that includes the tax bill. The fifth deadline, then, is for conference committees on the omnibus appropriation bills and the tax bills to report their bills to the floor, and that's May 7th. I believe that's a Thursday, if I recall. Someone could look, but my recollection is that's a Thursday. So May 7th. Although it's not in the resolution, because we can't bind the operations of the House and the Senate floors, our intention is by the following Tuesday, after May 7th, the following Tuesday, to have processed and sent to the governor, the 12th, is it? Our intent, and the speaker and I are going to be sending a letter to the governor saying that by that following Tuesday, all the budget and finance bills and the tax bill will be presented to the governor by the Tuesday, and apparently that's the 12th. So what we're trying to do is make sure we've created a calendar here where we can get our work done in an orderly fashion. If there are questions, Mr. President, I would stand to answer those.
Senator Higgins.
Mr. President and Senator Pogemiller, I'm looking at the third deadline, the deadline for divisions having their bills out of their committee. But I didn't hear you say how long the Easter, when we were coming back from the Easter Passover break, to know how long the divisions have to do that.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
I believe we'll, as we traditionally do, would come back at noon Tuesday after Easter. So you will have to be doing your work prior to that. And just a heads up to division chairs of finance, Senator Cohen may have a schedule that has you get your bill to him before that. So do not assume each division, do not assume that you get until April 16th to get your bill to full finance. That'll be between the finance chair and your divisions. But you definitely will have to have it there by that date. But I would think some of the smaller divisions, I'm guessing Senator Cohen will have an earlier date because he'll want to be processing those bills. Senator Rest? Senator Higgins, does that answer your question?
Senator Berglund.
Mr. President and Senator Pogemiller, this fifth deadline is not intended to mean that the committees of taxes or finance would not be allowed to process other bills after that date, does it? Traditionally, we've never had a deadline on finance or tax committee.
Mr. President,
Senator Pogemiller.
Senator Berger, I think that's correct. These are the omnibus bills.
Thank you.
And again, on that deadline, I suspect the House and Senate leadership and the finance chairs will be asking some conference committees to finish prior to that. Human Service, perhaps not one of them, but some of the smaller divisions, the conference committees.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. President and Senator Pogemiller, for one reason or another in the past, it has not been unheard of for the Health and Human Services Committee Budget Division to have to pass more than one omnibus bill. If that would happen, would this your intention be to waive this rule or to not apply the rule to second or third omnibus bills?
Senator
Mr. Pogemiller. President, I think the intent is a letter is going to be sent to the governor by the speaker and myself that says we intend to send all the major budget, tax, and finance bills. We present them to him by that Tuesday.
Further discussion on the resolution number 5. Seeing none, Senator Pogemiller renews his motion to adopt resolution number 5. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, pursuant to Rule 26, I designate that Senate File number 49 be made a special order for immediate consideration and yield to Senator Bach.
Senator Bach.
Thank you, Mr. President, and thank you, Senator Pogemiller, for special ordering this bill so early in the session. Members, Senate File 49 is an agreement between the leaders in the House and the Senate and the governor's office that was reached back on May 27th. At the conclusion of last year's session, when we passed the tax bill and went home, as the governor's people were reviewing the bill, they found two provisions in there they thought did not meet the spirit of the agreement reached between the legislature and the governor. There was a phone conference call on the 27th of May prior to the governor signing the tax bill in which he indicated that the Section 125 health insurance tax credit that was contained in the tax bill, the language was carried in the Health and Human Service bill, but the actual, and the money, the $730,000 a year available for a tax credit towards health insurance premiums, the language and the money were carried in the Health and Human Service bill. The actual tax credit language was carried in the tax bill. The tax committee the conference committee felt that the language that was agreed to among the health reform people could have been improved some, and so we went ahead and modified the actual tax credit to make it available to the employer, and apparently the agreement in the health committee had been that the tax credit would be available to the individual as a credit towards their premiums for health insurance. So what the governor insisted we do is repeal the provision that the employer be eligible for the tax credit and make the tax credit available to an individual. So what the first provision in the bill does is it changes that to reflect the intent between the Health and Human Service committees that were working with the governor on some health care reform and a tax credit for towards premium costs of health insurance, and changes it from being eligible to the employer to being eligible for the individual. So what we have to do is repeal the tax credit that's in law, and that's the repealer that you see in the bill, and then we create new language that reflects the intent that was reached last year on the Health and Human Service Committee. The second provision in the bill, late in the conference committee process, it became clear to us that the governor was insisting that we put levy limits on our local governments as a part of the final conclusion on the tax bill. I felt and made a motion in the conference committee to allow for a temporary suspension of something we call maintenance of effort provisions in order to give counties flexibility over their entire budget. Counties levy about $2.5 billion in property taxes a year. About $700 million of what they levy, about 30%, is actually required, the levy that is required by the state. So I felt, and the conference committee members felt, that if we're going to have levy limits on, we should give counties flexibility over more of their budget, rather than telling them, you know, we're putting a levy limit on you, but basically on average 30% of your levy is untouchable. So what we did is we suspended the maintenance of effort provisions, and what we didn't know that night that we learned is some of the maintenance effort provisions have a state cost. In other words, if the counties do not levy for the intended purpose, that the program is automatically backfilled with state general fund dollars. So the governor on the 27th of May indicated that it could be, if all the counties went ahead with the provisions permitted under the tax bill, there could be as much as $100 million cost to the state general fund. And members, if you remember, we were wrestling with a $935 million deficit at the time. We knew we had a deficit going out into the biennium that we're currently now putting a budget together for. So the governor felt that in the event the counties decided to take advantage of those not levying for some of those maintenance of effort provisions, it might cause a significant cost to the state's general fund. So we agreed that we would repeal that maintenance of effort provision early in a bill. So those are the two provisions in the tax bill that gave the governor's office some heartburn that he felt didn't meet this the the spirit of the overall global agreement. So members, there's a letter that I've distributed on your desk from the governor. It was written shortly after the conference call that took place between the leaders, the tax chairs. I believe Senator Berglund was on the phone as we worked through what the governor felt needed to be changed in the tax bill for him to not put the status of the tax bill signature in jeopardy. So members, that's what's in here. You'll notice in the governor's letter on the back page, the leaders and the governor did agree that these would be the only two provisions in the bill. I'd appreciate it if members of the Senate would honor that intent. That is the understanding that the leaders and the governor have. So I'd appreciate your support, and just want you to know that counties have raised some significant issues around maintenance of effort. They do not all have a state cost. We had a hearing. When we had a hearing on this bill, they presented some very good testimony on the subject, and I don't want anybody in the counties to think that this is the end of this discussion, because you know, after the governor's budget came out, it was clear we're going to put in more challenges on our local units of government this session with likely some reduced aid to them. So I don't want anybody to think that this is the end of this issue this session, because it's certainly going to need more consideration. So members, I'd appreciate your support of Senate File 49.
Further discussion on Senate File 49. Senator Berglund.
Mr. President, I would just rise to support this bill. The tax credit insurance proposal was some agreement that was reached with the House Republicans, and the changes that are being made to it are what was agreed to. And I also support repeal of maintenance of effort. I think it's more like a $200 million hit, most of which would be in my budget, and none of which is in the forecast. So I would urge a yes vote on this bill.
Further discussion, Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Buck, in listening carefully to your presentation, you brought up the desire of yours to recognize this agreement that was made by leaders of the House and Senate, as well as, I think you mentioned, some staff or spokespeople for the governor's office. As you know, I'm just a mere mortal. I don't travel in those circles, so the decision is still left to me to make this decision. And so I have a suggestion on how to alter your bill slightly. I wish I had an opportunity to visit with you before. I hope you will accept my apology for not talking to you about it. I have the A1 amendment that I'd like to present at this time.
Secretary will report the Limmer A1 amendment.
Senator Limmer moves to amend Senate File Number 49 as follows. Page 1, after 9-5, insert. This is the A1 amendment.
Senator Limmer on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President. The A1 amendment recognizes the concern of counties. Many of our members have probably heard a lot of the discussion on the part of counties. They've come to us, I believe, probably since the end of the last session in May of 2008. And many of us have had a continual parade of county officials concerned about the tax policies that Minnesota had recently passed. This particular amendment does not do away entirely with maintenance of effort, but it does make some exceptions that would be allowed. It would provide counties flexibility and would also answer most of their concerns as they sought more flexibility. With the exceptions on lines 14 and 15, it would require the state to expend additional money or incur additional costs, number two, or cause a reduction in a receipt by the state when federal or county, or when state or federal funds especially were concerned with county spending.
Senator Berglund, on the amendment.
Well, Mr. President, I would rise to speak against the amendment. First of all, the amendment is not part of the agreement that was the letter that was signed with the governor. And secondly, the amendment in and of itself represents about $207 million worth of services that would be suspended from provision at the local level. And so if this amendment were to go on this bill, I would want to request that this bill then go to the Finance Committee, because we are in a partnership with the counties, and we have agreed at various times that the state would take over certain services if the counties would provide certain other services. And so I think this would be a very important amendment for the Finance Committee to be reviewing.
Further discussion, Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. And Senator Berglund, I think you're correct in characterizing this amendment as not part of this leadership's agreement. But the point that I'm trying to make is neither were 99% of the members of the Senate, the House, the entire legislature was not a part of this agreement either. And that some of us do have an opinion of whether we can improve this bill or perhaps make it a little slightly different, and that's exactly our job, to do that. We make the policy in the state of Minnesota, and I, for one, am not really ready to give up my job to a small, select group of legislators who are called leaders in this body. We all have a right to participate in the discussion of tax policy and how it relates to the intergovernmental relationship across our state.
Further discussion, Senator Bach.
Well, members, I just want to be clear. The agreement that was reached wasn't reached between just the legislative leaders. And if I could just read for you a sentence out of the letter that the governor wrote that afternoon to kind of clarify where the agreement was. And this is a letter from the governor. He says, as a follow-up to our conference call this morning, we look forward to receiving a letter from you which commits on behalf of yourselves and as leaders of your caucuses and respective committees, one, repeal of the county maintenance of effort language in its entirety. Those are the governor's words, not mine. That's what he's requested. So, members, Senator Limmer, I'm sympathetic to what you're trying to do. And I trust that counties will do the right thing and continue to meet the needs of their constituents through levy or state aid or whatever avenue that they have. But I think your amendment is something for consideration down the road as we look forward to putting together a future tax bill that comes to the floor along with the Health and Human Service Committee and figure out where we can provide counties some additional flexibility and still at the same time make sure that the services that we expect in our community are provided. So, Senator Limmer, I have to speak against your amendment, but like I said earlier, this doesn't mean this is the end of the discussion on many of the provisions contained in your amendment.
Okay, we're on the Limmer amendment. Further discussion, Senator Orkman.
Thank you, Mr. President. I hope that the members will open their minds and look at what this amendment does. This is an improvement of this bill. And it addresses the concerns of the governor. It addresses the concerns of the committee chair and the leaders in the Senate and House to make sure that there's no state budgetary impact when we repeal the maintenance of effort. We've excluded that from the repeal on the maintenance of effort requirements in this bill. So what we're doing is allowing our county commissioners to do their job, which is to pass their budget. The members will recall that the governor, unfortunately, had to unallot their budgets. They have to deal with shortfalls in state revenues. They have to deal with shortfalls in their property tax revenues. They have to balance their budget. And we are saying, by not passing this amendment, that they must meet our priorities. And sometimes those priorities don't fit their counties. They've found efficiencies, they testified. They found efficiencies in the way that they can provide chemical dependency treatment. They have found efficiencies in their mental health treatment programs. They've found efficiencies. They can balance their budgets if they can have a little bit more flexibility. There are no county commissioners that all of a sudden want to just stop providing these services and want to leave their residents high and dry. These are very respectable, respectable county commissioners. They're elected officials. They serve their communities with every ounce of passion and commitment that we have when we serve in the state Senate. And so why are we going to say that they have to balance the budget according to our dictates? This is just another unfunded mandate from the state that doesn't provide value to our residents. Members, the county commissioners were not party to the letter agreement between the governor and the legislative leaders. The original amendment was passed in a conference committee. Everybody agreed. Everybody went home. The county commissioners thought, okay, I got some relief at the Capitol. Now we can pass a reasonable budget for my community. And since then, the governor and the legislative leaders have agreed to change the deal. Well, I wasn't party to that. The county commissioners weren't party to that. And now we think there's a way where we can improve this deal. Let's make sure there's no state budgetary impact, but allow them the flexibility they need to be responsible county commissioners and to do their work.
Senator Gerlach.
Mr. President, could I just ask for a roll call vote, please?
There'll be a roll call. Okay, any further discussion on the A1 Limmer Amendment? Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to echo the thoughts that Senator Ortman has just offered. Members, this is a good vote. You vote for this amendment and your county commissioners are going to be cheering. And they're going to be with you. And they're not going to give up the cause. They're going to take care of the people. They're dedicated, committed public servants. And we all know that. But this amendment does not violate the governor's interest in terms of state cost. But moreover, it certainly gives the county commissioners some flexibility that they need and that they want to do their programs. I trust my county commissioners in Homestead and Dodge County, and I know that everybody else feels that way about their respective county commissioners. And this amendment gives them that flexibility. I'll tell you what, when we go home, all we hear about is mandates, mandates, mandates. Senator Limmer has offered us an opportunity here to move away from some of these mandates and give our county commissioners the kind of flexibility that they want, they need, and that they ought to have. So I urge support for this amendment.
Okay. On the amendment, Secretary will take the roll. Got excused. Okay. Okay, we all senators having voted are six people excused today, so we're pretty close. Secretary will close the roll. There being 26 ayes and 34 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Any further discussion on Senate File 49? Senator Koch.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have the A3 amendment.
Secretary will report the Koch A3 amendment.
Senator Koch moves to amend Senate File 49 as follows. Page 1, after line 5, insert. This is the A3 amendment.
Senator Cook, on your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President. And members, what this amendment does is it restores. There were two pieces of legislation, or two parts of the tax bill last year. One was this maintenance of effort issue that we've been dealing with. The other piece that was somewhat controversial and from my opinion and a lot of people's opinion, not well vetted, was the Green Acres changes that were made. And the amendment that you have before you, the A3 amendment, repeals the changes that were made in the 2008 session, takes Green Acres back to where we were prior to the tax bill, 2008. And I know that today we're hearing in agriculture, and I think properly so, the discussions on the Green Acres. I'm very supportive. I'm going to be at that committee hearing. But I think that the maintenance of effort that we're seeing, this deal that was put forward, for lack of a better word, was sort of a legislative do-over, and that's what I'm suggesting we do today with the Green Acres with the Green Acres issue as well. Let's take it back to where it was. Let's have the proper discussions in agriculture and environment. Let's fully vet these changes and then work forward from there. But I think we need to start by repealing the changes, and so that is the spirit in which I offer this amendment.
Discussion, Senator Scoy.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. As Senator Koch said, we are starting the process of revisiting the Green Acres issue in Ag Committee today. There's been a number of bills introduced. We're going to look at the bills and assess their merits and make changes where we need to make changes to make the Green Acres program work across Minnesota. And so I would hope that this winter, it is winter time, ground is frozen. We do have time to evaluate the impacts before there are any changes that are made out in the landscape of Minnesota. And I would hope that we would reject this amendment and let the committees with jurisdiction take a look at this and make the right changes to fix the Green Acres program.
Further discussion on the Koch A3 amendment, Senator Koch.
Well, and Mr. Chair and Senator Scoy, I very much appreciate, I want the committees to work. I wanted to see the committees do this work that we're going to see this session, last session. I think we were remiss in that. And so we've left a lot of counties, a lot of farmers, a lot of families sort of hanging in the balance. And so just as we're doing with the maintenance of effort issue, I'm saying let's take it back to the beginning. Let's go back to where pre-2008, so there's no question where we stand. Relieve some of the doubt and worry that is out there, and then we can move forward. And let's have the discussions. I think they're going to be great discussions. I'm not debating that. But this amendment would take us back to the beginning.
Discussion on the Koch amendment, Senator Limmer.
Roll call, too, Mr. President.
There'll be a roll call, Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Scoy, I know that this, if my memory serves me correctly, you are the author of these changes on this provision of green acre status on our tax bill last year. Since that time, even I in Hennepin County, who have people who have classifications of property in this way, have been calling me. Not only in my district, but from across the state they're calling me. And there really is a time of essence question here that we must answer. As you know, property taxes fall. They come due middle of March, middle of October of each year. If we're going to continue to wait for the legislature to think about, consider, try to alter, maybe even repeal this provision, we probably will have to wait till the end of this legislative session sometime in May. And for these people, some of these property taxes have more than doubled on their property tax. I don't think those people can wait. They don't want us to wait. And I think if we did maybe overreach a little bit in our policy considerations last year, we should at least recognize Senator Koch's proposal to move forward on this bill. And if there's revisions that still need to believe to be needed, we can change that. But these people, these property owners, before March need to have this addressed quickly, because their property taxes, anybody who has doubling of property taxes has got a severe threat to their personal family security in light of the economic conditions of our day.
Further discussions. Senator Scoy.
Thank you, Mr. President. And Senator Limmer, nobody's property taxes have changed yet. People have been made an interim decision about whether they intend to leave their nonconforming parcel in Green Acres. The final decision will be made later on this year, this summer or fall, and it will affect their future property taxes, but nobody's taxes have been changed yet.
Senator Olson.
Mr. President, according to rule number 41.2, I would request being excused from voting on this amendment.
That's a motion. On that motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Koch.
Thank you, Mr. President. One of the concerning issues in this, the changes to Green Acres, is the productive versus non-productive land issue. And what I would suggest, besides the tax issue that Senator Limmer raised, one deadline we're up against is spring planting. And, you know, I've had many farmers come to me and say, well, I understand what a productive land is, but if you want, I can make some non-productive land productive. And that could be something that they're looking at when they're, in fact, one person said, well, why should I leave buffers along waterways? I'll plow to the edge. Another gentleman said, well, I'll cut down some trees and make that land productive. So these are some questions that are swirling around this legislation that I understand we are going to fully address and we should rightfully address. But that is also another deadline that I would suggest we're up against is spring planting, and that's not something that can wait for summer or fall.
Okay, further, Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. President, and I too rise in favor of this amendment. We received an awful lot of calls this year, both in my office and my residents, about this Green Acres. I have an awful lot of players that are participating in the program, just exactly what Senator Koch just echoed with regards to putting lands into productivity in order to participate. And one of the biggest issues that was complaining about was the 7-year tax grab versus the 3-year tax grab. That's the thing that people think are more overreaching than anything. So I would like to see this thing absolutely go away. Let's start over, and I support the amendment.
Further discussion on Senator Bach.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, I've received many of the emails that you've received, and there has been a lot of misrepresentation and misinformation floating around this issue, and the amount of time that was put into considering the changes. Members, there was a legislative auditor's report on the Green Acres program. These changes were not made in the dark of night, like I read in some of the emails, with nobody's knowledge. The legislative auditor's report was heard in the tax committee. It was discussed in the property tax division of the tax committee, in the full tax committee, in the conference committee. And I mean, it may be that some of the things we did need some revision, but those revisions need to be made in the committee process. And part of the problem we're having is some of the assessor's own personal interpretations about things like buffers and wetland pieces that are integrated into a parcel. I think assessors are really having some trouble interpreting what should be eligible for Green Acres and what might be otherwise grandfathered. But Mr. President, there's a lot of misinformation floating around, and the Senate floor is not the place to have this discussion about making a major change like this. Senator Vickerman's got the bill scheduled, and we'll have another hearing after he passes them out to the Tax Committee and try to if the House is willing, to move a bill for the governor's signature before the end of the session. But, Mr. President, I'd like to yield to Senator Scoy.
Senator Scoy.
Thank you, Mr. President, and Senator Bach. Members, I just want to read what is in current law that we did last year with regard to these non-productive ag lands. And what we have in here is that the assessor has to not classify this as non-productive land. It's sloughs, wooded wind shelters, acreage abutting ditches, and other similar land impractical for the assessor to value separately from the rest of the property. All of those parcels should qualify for green acres. Now, if the assessors are having difficulty with the language that we have in current law, I think we'll clarify it. And I think instead of saying may, we'll say shall. And I think we'll add rock piles and ravines. But if you repeal this, then we have to start all over. I think we've got a pretty good start on getting the green acres thing fixed. We've worked on it for a couple years. This was done in the tax bill 2 years ago that was vetoed. It was done again last year. We made work on it. But let's keep some of the good work that we have in this language that deals with the slough and the woodlands being in green acres. I think we ought to leave that. And so I would hope you'd give the committee a chance to work on this year. And Senator Bach said we've made a commitment to moving this forward, and we'll try to make this better again this year as we have done the last 2 years.
Further discussion on the Koch A3 amendment. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Skoy, you were listening carefully to my words earlier, and I did make the statement that taxes had more than doubled for some property owners. And in review of that, I just wanted to clarify, they were looking at estimates that they received from their county officials, fearing that their property taxes, the figures were more than doubled in the estimate coming this coming year. That's the reference I was making reference to. So I just wanted to clarify that so no one can rightfully say that I was trying to mislead the Senate body. It was an estimate that the property owners were looking at, very alarmed and very concerned in light of the economic conditions we have in our state and nation.
Secretary will take the roll on the Koch A3 amendment. All senators, have you voted? Desire to vote. Secretary, we close the roll. There being 28 ayes, 31 nays. The amendment is not adopted. Further discussion on the bill. Secretary will give Senate File 49 its third reading.
Senate File Number 49, a bill for an act relating to taxation, income, creating a health insurance premium credit, etc.
Secretary will take the roll. Okay, apparently we have to vote again. We'll get that motion out of the way right away. Yeah, what's remaining under motion, Jeff? All senators have voted. Desire to vote. We have one motion, Larry. Secretary will close the roll. There being 49 ayes, 7 nays, bill is passed and its title agreed to. Remaining under motions, Secretary will report a message from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file herewith returned. Senate file number 4, a bill for an act relating to unemployment compensation, etc. Signed, Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Okay. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I'd like to take up Senate Resolution number 24.
Secretary will report the resolution.
Senator Pogemiller introduces a Senate Resolution number 24, a Senate resolution recognizing Patrick E. Flavin's many years of service to the people of Minnesota as Secretary of the Senate.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, members, this is the beginning of our congratulatory celebration to the former Secretary of the Senate, Mr. Flavin, who has joined us today. And I want to remind members that there's an event this afternoon that you've all been invited to that will be a continuation of that celebration. And so I would hope members, certainly with Mr. Flavin in the audience, would be willing to support this resolution.
On the motion to adopt the resolution, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I'd like to call for a recess to the call of the chair.
On the motion to recess, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senate stands in recess.
Mr. President, I want to remind members that the event this evening is from 5 to 7. At the Lexington, and the program will be at 5:30. And there'll be additional presentation at that event. So, Mr.
Senate will come to order. We've got, without objection, we've got some Senate bill introductions. They are printed on today's agenda. Without objection, first reading of Senate bills. Without objection, Senator Johnson will be excused from all day today. It's Senator Rummel all day. Senator Lynch from 11 to 11:15. Senator Erickson Ropes from 11 to 11:30. Senator Boniff and Murphy all day. And Senator Saltzman and Senator Sieben from 11:45 on. Announcements of Senate interest. Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would the majority leader yield?
He will yield. Okay. Senator Senjum.
Mr. President, members, Mr. Majority Leader, one of the things that we all know that we're going to be involved in this year is this session is some very difficult decisions, certainly around our budget, certainly in the program and services area. And albeit much smaller, certainly we're going to have to make some decisions about our Minnesota Senate budget. And one of the things is I've gone through the rules of this body more recently and come across and something that probably in the good times we wouldn't pay a lot of attention to. And but now I think under the stresses we have, I think we have to. Mr. Majority, one of the rules, and I'm not suggesting an error or avoidance or anything like this, but one of the rules in here calls for quarterly reports to the Senate on expenditures, to the Rules Committee, I'm sorry, not the Senate. And I think it might be a good thing as we contemplate our budgets, at least for this body, that perhaps, and I don't know if those rules are, or pardon me, those documents are produced at this point, but if they're not, they probably should be. If they are, it might be not a bad idea to begin sharing them. And I'm not sure if you know what I mean. It's 51.5 in here, but it calls for the quarterly distribution of expenditure reports from the Senate. So perhaps we can talk offline a little bit more about this, but I'd certainly urge that we begin to look at those things, because we will have some decisions to make.
Without objection, Senator Carlson be excused from today's session from 11:15 on. Any senator announcements? Senator Pappas?
Thank you, Mr. President. The Senate Higher Education Committee is going to meet on time at 12:30, so please grab your lunches quickly. Chancellor McCormick is our first speaker, and he has a schedule conflict, so we need to start right on time.
Further announcements, Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I'd move the Senate adjourn until Monday, February 2nd, 11 a.m.
On the Pogemiller motion to adjourn, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senate stands adjourned.